You know, that really sums up what we feel like this church is called to be. And so I want to talk to you about some things today. I'm now going to let these guys go. I'm not going to make them sing through the whole rest of our time together. But for some of us, that's a really cool moment. It's like, oh, it's worship. I feel it. Yes. Some of us are like, it's kind of freaking me out a little bit because we sang that song already. We shouldn't go back and sing it again. There should be an order to things. And then some of you are kind of like in between, and you're going, I think I want to be like that free in my worship, in my approach to things, right? And then there's some of us that are way out on the edges going, I don't know if any of this is true. I'm still trying to figure out if this is a sham or not. Well, that's who we are. Welcome to the crossing. That's what God is doing here in our midst. But a little bit of what we just did was, I think, is in these past few moments, is we kind of got out of the shallows and just we just kind of waded out a little bit, just a little bit into some deeper waters. And deep is an interesting word, isn't it? Like when you think of somebody who's deep, who's deep? Does somebody come to mind? I mean, like when somebody says, oh yeah, he's deep or she's deep. Do you have, is that a good thing or is that like, ugh, right? Because there are people that think they're deep, right? And there's like, you know, there are guys that hang out together. They're usually in a college dorm room and they think they're deep. You know, it's like, man, I just wish everyone loved each other, man. It's like everything should love each other. Like, yeah, man. Like, I don't even want to, like, even rocks should love each other. Like, man, I don't want to separate the rocks in my driveway, man. And the other guy goes, dude, that's deep. No, that's dumb. So when I'm using the word deep, we've got to give it a different meaning, okay? So now that I've kind of messed you up, just lean over to somebody very quickly and tell them, like, who's the deepest? When you think of a deep person, who do you think of and why? Go ahead, play with that for just a second, and we'll come back. Go ahead, do that. Okay, all right, quick one, I know. So, I didn't give the sites a chance to shoot me back some answers, but so when you think of deep, what do you think of? I'm not gonna ask for the people, but like, what's a deep person? Anybody here, what's a deep person? Can you just give me like one thing you look for? Why did you mention the person you mentioned? Anyone? Intellectual. Oh, they're intellectual, so they know how to use their noggin. Okay, all right, yeah, what else? Committed, okay, because you want somebody who's consistent. If they're deep, then they kind of, I would even go a little, it's like they know, they kind of know why they do what they do, don't they? And they're not afraid to do it. See, for me, wisdom is, deep is being wise, and it's having the courage to move into the world. Okay, somebody over here said something. Compassion? Yeah, so it's someone who, they're not just about them. Yeah. Okay, so we could keep going all day on this, but we also know the other side of that because we see it and smell it all the time, right? Superficial. Anybody willing to agree with me that there's a lot of that going around? Yeah, I'm not saying like specifically in your area of seating, but I'm just saying there is a lot of that going around. There's one writer that puts it like this: superficiality is the curse of our age. Now, he goes on. We don't have time to go into this. He goes on and talks about the pace of life and how we demand things now. And he thinks that's what contributes to just this shallow, superficial, skimming along the surface life. Maybe you're familiar with that pace of life. But then he gives us this. The desperate need today is not for a great number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. Now, listen. We need us some intelligent and gifted people in this world. But how about that business of we need deep people in this world? See, I happen to agree with that. If we're going to see things begin to change in this wobbly, unpredictable world of ours, then there has to be a certain depth. And a depth comes, it's people who are anchored. Anyone notice that today, a lot of our songs had to do with being anchored and firm foundation and those kinds of things, because you need that in this world. I think we need deep people. I think we need deep relationships. I think we need deep organizations that know how to react in this shaky world. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how that might happen. We might call it a journey to the depths. Now, I'm going to warn you that you're going to have to fight the cynical part of you that's just going, you know, well, I don't think that's the way that works, Greg. I don't think that's how that works. And if it doesn't after these 3 weeks, then you come tell me a better way for us to get to the depths, okay? We talked about this last spring and you didn't realize it. I mentioned to you in the spring when we started this series, really, that we were going to come back in the fall. I said, I want to talk to you about something and we'll revisit it in the fall. Well, here we are, keeping our promise, and I'm going to say to you what I said back then. There is nothing that you will receive from the ministries of this church, from me, from any other pastor here that will heal you completely, that will save you, that will redeem you, that will change your eternity. That alone comes from Jesus. He is the Christ, the resurrected Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Are we clear on that? But for some reason, God says to his people, now, in this time of history, I'm entrusting you with some work. I'm entrusting you with the story. I'm entrusting you with getting some things done. You're made in the image of God, and God gets things done. There's this inherent thing baked into you where you want to accomplish some things. God says, it's your turn. I want you to do some things. You know this part of the story, but let me lay the foundation one more time. After the resurrection, Jesus spends around 6 weeks with his followers post-resurrection on earth before he returns to his Father in heaven. In that time, in the Gospels, we will see most of the appearances of Jesus are not all that glamorous. They're kind of like little one-off sort of everyday things, you know. They're not that big a deal. But then every now and then, there were a couple that had a feeling of a more official gathering, something that just felt, you know, and I think every time I was around Jesus, hopefully I would have felt it was official. But these were the kinds of moments when it was, you could just tell what he was saying. It had force. I'm sure they were all looking at each other and going, is anybody getting this? Somebody write this down. This is big stuff. One of those settings, he is so forceful and so, the words are so overwhelming. I'm so afraid that they're familiar to us, that we don't understand how overwhelming they are. But he gives his marching orders to his followers and to us. One more time, Matthew chapter 28. We'll start with verse 16. In verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. This is where they're from. They're away from Jerusalem now. They're about 60 miles north of Jerusalem where all the controversy had happened. Notice there are only 11 of them. Judas is no longer with them. Then they came to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Just a little side note we always mention, I love the honesty of Scripture. This is not written like a mythological writing. Mythology doesn't include points like that. Jesus is so patient that he knows these guys are trying to figure it out. They love him, but they're still trying to put together the resurrection. He's patient with them. He's walking them through this. But then these words, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are familiar words. But to many of us, these are the words of God himself. Why? Because God the Father raised Jesus from the dead just as Jesus had predicted and promised, even though nobody believed him. And so now here it is after that, and Jesus says, all authority is mine now. Jesus looks at his followers and says, I am so much more than you even thought I was. Now, if that's true, then he gets to say what he says next. And we should pay attention. If it's not, then I would just put it to the side as kind of, you know, something like, this is a nice thing to think about, you know, from another nice guy in history. But if what I just said is true, then you and I don't get to fit his dream into our dreams. You and I don't get to say, well, I got to figure out how this works in my schedule, with my priorities, with where my season of life. We don't get to do that. Jesus is saying, all authority is mine. Now, if you belong to me, go. Oh, don't just go. Go and make disciples. Where? In the world. To places you have never been, all nations, to people that you don't know, that you don't agree with, that you're going to have to take some time to even get to know them and to understand their culture, but you go. What Jesus is saying here is that we are called to go into the world to love and to serve, to make a difference. We've heard all this before, right? None of this is new. But we do this not in some haughty, self-righteous, bloated way where we come in with all of the answers. You go in humbly, towel over your arm. What can I do to help? What can I do to serve? What can I do to love? Sometimes that going and that witnessing is embodying the love of Jesus and saying, here, I just want to help right now. Listen to me. I am so grateful for how we mobilized in the aftermath of Harvey. When that team came back this week, it was great hearing some of those stories, but you could see the fatigue on their faces. These people worked. We're not done. We will continue to do the right thing for a long time in that area. But I'm also grateful, and we pray for those now who will move in when it comes to the aftermath of Irma. Pray for those right now, right in this moment, that are in the path of destruction. We pray for the sovereign God to do this, and then we pray for him to give wisdom to the church to come in the aftermath. I'm grateful for organizations that will move in the aftermath. I'm sure the Pujols Foundation is thinking about how they're going to mobilize in the DR. How does that work? Living Water is figuring that out. World Vision is figuring that out. I'm grateful for that. So part of us going into the world is getting our hands dirty. But when we go into the world, we also explicitly tell the story of Jesus. Why? Because you have friends and neighbors and classmates and teammates and coworkers, and we've talked about this before. But they need to know that Christianity is not just a religion. It's not just a set of creeds. It's not just a set of rituals. It's deeper. It's personal. It's intimate. They need to know it's okay to ask hard questions. And usually many of us find someplace along the way in those conversations that it helps if you get to say to that friend, well, listen, I'll tell you, why don't you come with me to my church? And we have these things on the weekends where there's a whole bunch of people, and some of them are just like you, and we welcome them, and you can get some of those questions answered. And together, we begin to learn and to figure this out. You see, we welcome people no matter where they are on the spiritual spectrum, because we will teach the Word of God, and we will always point this back to Jesus. This isn't that people need to know about us. They need to know about Jesus, and we will teach Jesus here. I'll give you an example. We're going to start a series in October. September 30, October 1 is when it starts. I can't show you the artwork for it. I can't show you the logo for it. I can't show you. It's not out there yet. But I will tell you, this is a mammoth series, and we are going to cover some things we have never covered, lo, these many years. Some of it we have. Some of it we haven't. I'm excited. I'm a little overwhelmed. It's unbelievable. I'm working with some of our scholars here on staff, and we're going, okay, here we go. But I guarantee you, your friends who are figuring out Jesus will want to be here for this because they have questions about these particular stories in Scripture, okay? So go, and then sometimes invite them back. But when somebody follows Jesus, then we also teach them and resource them and mentor them and raise them up so that they can begin to go, oh, so now I know how I fit in all of this. And then I go out and I continue to do this. So it's this go, and it's folding people in, and it's go, and it's folding people in. This is the mission of the Christian movement, the church, and the what of this movement is as big as it gets. God has said, change the world. I'll do the heavy lifting, but you get out there and watch what happens. Now, some people try to separate these things out, and that's because of our personalities, our just who we are. I'll give you two or three silly examples. Maybe not silly examples, but I have friends who are, and I mean this in the best of words, they are activists. They are the kind that when they see something wrong, they want to go in and help. Oh my goodness, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a this, whether it's a that, which the neighbor across the street, whether it's something, it's like, oh God, please help me, show me how to do this, and they will get their hands dirty. They will serve you. But listen, I've also had people who are so caught up in that, that that's all they do. Like they will serve you and the world around you, but somewhere along the way, they forgot to also tell you about Jesus. That's not being a great disciple. I know other people who are all caught up on the go and tell the story of Jesus. So, oh, you need to know Jesus. Daylight's a burning, hell's a coming, let's go. And they will tell you about Jesus. Do you know? Good. Have you met him? Here's Jesus. And they introduce you to Jesus, and then I'll never see you again. I'll see you in heaven. Good. You know Jesus? Good. You know Jesus? Oh, good. You know Jesus? But they never disciple. They never teach. They never help people resource. That's not being a very good disciple either. And then there are people who will say, I don't want to do any of that because I don't even like the world. I want to build a castle and live behind it. I'll study God's word. Love doing that. Me and four of my friends, we are going to study the book of Obadiah for like the next 4 years. And when we're done, we will know more than the Hebrew experts. And you know what? They're right. Some of them are going to be dreaming in Hebrew by the end of that time. But if they allow their heart to grow callous to everything else, they're not being a very good disciple. You see, in any of these instances, if you throw the other things out, we are ignoring the greatest disciple maker ever. God's called us into this. So now, how we doing? Well, in ways that I can understand and in most ways that I cannot understand, God has blessed this church enormously. I mean, his hand has just been on this church, and we have to give him all the glory. It's all his credit. Hundreds, now thousands, have responded to the gospel of Jesus over the years. You are going out into the world. You are loving. You are serving. You're doing this. People are raised up. All of that. Can we get better at how we preach and teach the gospel and how? Yes, we will. You'll see us even try things this year of how we do this in the 21st century. But sometime last year, many of you will recall, we took a survey. It was a way for you to frankly tell us what's working and what's not working in the church. And we went over the results. I'm not going to go over those again. But in that, you told us a few things that it's like, this could be better. There were no there was nothing. The experts, as they sifted through this, said a couple of things. One, your people are very honest and they're very responsive, like off the charts responsive. But you don't have any graphic illustration. You don't have any bleeding arteries here. This is what's going on. But if you want some areas where your folks have said, yeah, we could do better. It really came down to how do we fold people into the large community here? How do we help them connect? How do we give them specific ways that they can volunteer and do some of this stuff we're talking about? How do we do this and how do we communicate that more clearly to people? Because there are many of you who are saying, I got it, I figured it out. And the research showed that. But then there are others who are saying, yeah, they figured it out, but I didn't. They got a map, I didn't. Show me why we do what we do. Show me how it is that we do what we do. How come it connects the way it does? Can you just show me how all of this fits together? So what if there was a way for us to begin doing this? We took teams for the last months and just said, will you start working on some of these things? Will you start figuring this out? So what if there was a better way, a clearer way for us to start showing you how to go deeper into exploring the truth of who God is? What if you began to understand what to expect when you experience him closer and closer and closer? What if there were specific ways that we gave you to go deeper in relationship with each other and with the outside world? And it wasn't so much of a mystery, but we really started giving you a framework. That was the goal. Now, I'm going to ask Judy, would you come up here for just a few minutes, Jude, and just talk about kind of what happened? Let me just start off with this. I was in some of those early meetings, and the initial answers were very complicated because there's so much going on around here, and you guys had dry erase boards full of stuff, and I'm like, I don't know how that's going to be clear to people. And we came back to, I think by God's design, mm-hmm. to a really familiar framework, and a couple of light bulbs went off for you guys.
Yep.
And when you hear this, I don't want you to, I mean, in fact, I'll kid you about it a little bit later. Don't think you've got this all figured out. But you did come back to a framework. So will you just talk about
when we read all the survey results, we put everything on the table and said, Lord, if you want to tweak, change, add, delete, go, do it. And one of the things was the mission statement. All those years ago when the Lord laid on your heart, we want to be a church that explores truth humbly and experiences His grace personally and expresses that love boldly. We even said, okay, if we're supposed to change this.
But what we were going to change wasn't the mission, but how we explained it.
Exactly. And that's what was so, He kept confirming, no, this is you. This is what I've laid on you, but you have to communicate it better. And one of those ways was even visually. It's why we changed our logo. Do you guys have will you put that up there? For years when you were teaching this, we didn't have that visual, but what it came down to is you kept telling us they're all interconnected. You can't separate them.
Right.
You can't. And so these are Judy words now. When you would paint the picture to us about the three E's, it's if you're doing all three and you're being a good disciple, when all three intersect right in that common center, that's when you're living in God's will. Those are my words.
Yeah, it's kind of your sweet spot.
It's your sweet spot. And it's being a disciple is doing all three of those at the same time. Now, the size of the circle doesn't matter. Don't get thrown on that.
I would say if you want, like if one of those is, you know, explore or express or experience, those circles will change and morph in size based on the season, what you're in.
Right.
All of those things change, but you have to constantly incorporate all three.
All three.
Right.
All three. And then, so we said, okay, those are the three E's. Here's the new visual because we have to make it visual for people to understand. But then what's the next practical layer? And so we once again read all the survey results. And actually it's on your little handout that you got here. What we found out is that people who were exploring truth within a group or class or small group at the Crossing, and people that were experiencing His grace through regular attendance at the weekend services, through worship and prayer and teach, and then people that were on a constant serving team, regular, those were the people that were telling us, that's when I feel like I'm not only in the center of God's will as a disciple, but I'm in the center of this church.
Yeah.
This is my church.
You're going deeper in
going
many
deeper.
Levels.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep, yep,
got
yep.
It. And I believe the research has also shown us that the people who have left the church, and there are many reasons people leave a church, but like the top common theme is people who didn't incorporate these three even know that they could.
One of the common themes, and people were really raw on their forms, were like, I attended the Crossing for 3 years, attended weekend services, and I never felt connected. Well, you were only doing one of the circles.
Right.
So the biggest feedback is people saying, no, this is my church. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm figuring out a way. We're people that were incorporating all three of those.
Right. So we're trying to do a better job of helping them get started on all three of these.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not our responsibility to take you all the way into this. At some point, you're going to have to pick this up and go, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just the way, that's life. But we will help you with
right.
this.
Right. And so can I tell them about this,
please?
Is that okay? One of the things being practical for all of us was how can we give you something tangible to hold on to? And so our team came up with this. It's pretty substantial. It's called the Field Guide. It's our new Field Guide. And what is in here is all of the note-taking, homework, and stuff for our three vision venues, Vision Dinner, Body Life, and Explorations. So when you sign up for one of those the very first time, you get this. And by the way, if you haven't taken them for a while, we're asking you to re-up. We're asking our staff to re-up because what's taught in those three vision venues are integral. The biblical concepts are integral to being a disciple, to living inside the will of Jesus. Yeah. So we're begging you all, consider re-upping on these three vision venues. If you just took them last semester, then you'll be able to buy one of these in the bookstore if you want, all right? Can I show them my favorite part? Is that okay? At the end of everything we're going to do now.
What would she do if I said no right there? Anybody else wondering that? Go ahead.
Can y'all see this? Can y'all see this? Can y'all see this? At the end, there's a whole bunch of pages that where you get to, at the end of a class or a group or small group, you get to sit there and talk about what's my next step, what's my goal, and you actually get to talk about which one of the three E's is God convicting me to work on? Is he asking me to explore or experience or express? I know you well. I know he's convicting you to work on something different than he's convicting me.
Sure, sure.
Because spiritual formation isn't this rote or...
it's not formulaic.
Formulaic. It's so individual. And so this is part...
By the way, what you just described, our whole staff is
we're all great. Going through this. The whole staff is going through this.
So the whole staff is going, all right, God, what's the next step for me? Because I know you're telling me something. Mm-hmm. So we're already doing this. Go ahead.
Because I didn't say this last night, but another common theme that came out of the survey results for the people that left the church, that they wanted the church to be responsible for their spiritual formation. And we will resource, we'll do everything we can, but ultimately it's you saying, what's my next step and I'm going to take it.
Right. Right.
We'll do everything we can to help and assist.
What I love also about this is it gives you a chance to track your progress. So you get to go back. I know some of us are journalers and some of us aren't. But it gives you a chance to go, okay, so where am I on this? And it's not, you can do this.
Well, our memories are short and we even forget when God does awesome things.
Yep.
And this helps you track how God's working.
Yeah. So in review, though, a couple of things. They get these at any of the three venues, any of the three vision venues that are coming.
Or you can buy them in the bookstore.
And Body Life is coming up.
Yep, it's on your little piece of paper. September 18th, you will have 5 options for Body Life.
Okay.
So join us.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll come back in just a second when we wrap this up, and I'll tell you why these classes matter more than you think they do. But let me just say, as you hear this, you're having a variety of reactions right now. Some of you are like, oh, this is cool. This is great. Thank you. Let's do this. I'm excited. Let's try this. Some of you are like, oh, I was hoping for something more. And then there's a few of you that are saying, well, I don't know how to say this to you, but I don't need that. Because Greg, when you asked us to think of the deepest person we know, you know who you are. And probably the person next to you does because you shared your answer with them. Listen to me. I'm not going to argue with you about whether you're deep or not. I know that many of you are just that. You're deeper in your faith with God. You're deep in what you're doing here in this church. No question. Not arguing with you. Here's my point. What if there were more? What if he's not done with any of us? So a few years ago, I was scuba diving and sailing with some friends off the coast of Central America. The scuba diving stuff was just amazing. And one day we did what was called a blue water dive. And so if you're open water certified, you can do these blue water dives. And the reason they call it that is because the water is, go figure, blue. And when I say blue, I don't mean like swimming pool blue, even though that's what you think of in the Caribbean. This was more almost navy blue. You ever seen water that color? It's just like, it's you didn't know water like that existed. And it's because the water's deep. Now, when we do the dive, it's a little bit of a technical dive because where we were, I think it was like a couple 300 feet deep, the water. And we only went down about 80, 90 feet, okay? Maybe 100 at times. And that's still pretty deep, right? It's deep. But you kind of have to pay attention to some things. But if you dive, you know that you can do that. Off to the right, it got deeper. There was a shelf and it dropped off. And you kind of didn't want to even think about how deep it was over there. I know it was thousands of feet. I think it was like a mile or so deep. Okay. But we were on the hunt for these whale sharks that we didn't find. And I'll just say yet. Because that's going to happen. But we saw other things that you didn't see like in previous dives. Like there were these three bull sharks that were tracking us. And I remember two of them were off to the side. One of them was like 100 feet, maybe 75 feet below us. And you're like, okay. And they were just kind of doing a little flyby, checking us out, and then they leave. But you saw fish that you wouldn't see otherwise. When you're out in those waters, you see loggerhead turtles that you come up to and can swim with and things like that. But there was, I will never forget, the only thing I can tell you, it was like a tornado of fish. And they were mackerel. They were like these, not small fish. And thousands of them. I remember asking our dive guide later, like, how many fish was that? Because it seemed like it started at the bottom of the ocean floor and almost went to the surface. It was just one of those things. And he said, some have estimated up to 100,000 fish will be in this swirl when it gets going. And you're watching all of this and you can't really understand how deep things are. And you feel really, really small and you get a sense that the ocean is really, really big. And you know that you are a long way from home. This is not Kansas, Dorothy. But along the way, something else overwhelmed me. As far away as I was in a completely different, awesome, beautiful universe, even then, I had a sense that God was there. God was there. The poet David says, "Though I ascend to the heavens, you are there. Though I go to the depths, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and go to the far side of the sea, Lord, you are there and you will lead me." What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, I would have never seen the glorious, overwhelming beauty of that day had I stayed in the shallows. Because there was always more. That's the way it is with God. As much as you have experienced of him and as glorious as it is, there is more. Why? Because he is more. Psalm 42, verse 7. It's sort of a mystical verse, but it says, deep calls to deep. And most people think when they read that, it is that what the psalmist is trying to convey is that the depths of who God is will cry out to the deep part of you. Come on. What if there was more? We are blessed, man. So when guys like Kenny and Aaron do this thing, you guys were working on this all week, weren't you? Yeah. These are the fun moments because I get to get out of the way. But I would just leave you with it. What if there was more? No matter how far you've been into this thing, what if there was more? That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Reminds me of the price that you've paid. Your love awakens me by the dawn. It was the cross that broke all my chains. I can't wrap my head around all that you are, but you keep on calling me deeper. There's more to see here than what I've known back then. So I will take your hand, let you lead the way and go. God, won't you help me to go deeper still? I wanna go so much deeper still. Help me, show me. Don't know it all, but I want to go deeper still.
When you see a serving team come together and say, God, I'm going to use my gifts to glorify you, it's an act of worship. I mean, they did that in a few days. But most of us, we don't have the spiritual gifts of creative communication to write and sing a song. But he has wired us to serve him. So once again, shameless plug for Body Life. That's all class two. Come and join us at Body Life, because that's where we figure out what are our gifts, how do we contribute. Right? But right now, Greg's about to come back up and land the plane, take us home. But one way we all corporately get to worship him is through the gift of giving. So our serving team, our guest relations team, is going to come forward right now and receive our gifts and offerings. And if you came ready to participate, to offer up this form of worship, join us.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up for you here, and I was thinking about this tendency that we have of something, and so let me give this to you, give you one thing about exploring that you need before you leave here, and then we're out of here. I want to show you something really cool at the end. You definitely want to see this thing at the end. So, but first of all, do you know anything about misheard lyrics? There's a technical term for that, and somebody gave it to me, and I've already forgotten it, but you know about misheard lyrics, right? We've all got them, right? Hold me closer, Tony. Danza, right? I mean, everybody knows that one, right? And there's a whole bunch of others, but you've probably heard some of these before. I want you to real quickly just turn to your neighbor and tell them now your favorite misheard lyric. Go ahead. All right, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. Here's another Elton John song. And I want you guys to sing with me now, if you would. Everybody come back with me. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. We've got the lyrics for you in a second. It'll help.
I'm a rocket man.
Okay, here we go. Everybody together now.
Rockin' man, burning up a priesthood evermore.
No, wait. That is not what that says. But that's what some people think that says. Now, I'm not going to, in the interest of time, give you the right answers for these next ones. You will have to help each other. Some of you, let's get a little more contemporary. How about Rihanna? You know this song. Just listen.
Put my love in a hopeless place.
what it says. You'll have to help each other with that. Here's one a little bit. We're going back a little bit. This will help other people. Yeah, here we go. What it says, not what it says. Anybody know 21 Pilots? Some of you do, yeah. Here we go, all together now.
All my friends are eating steak and snow.
I think that's what he is saying.
Yeah, all right, one more. This is the classic. We have to end with this one. Yeah, this is.
On a dark desert highway.
Yeah. Okay, that cannot be what Don Henley is singing there. I hope not. I mean, I don't even know what that means. By the way, if this is your first time here at The Crossing, we are usually more reverent than this. So what's my point at the end of the day? Why would we take that much time? Because here it is. Sometimes all you have to do is to mishear something or think you heard it, and you keep plowing along, and all it took was just a little bit, and you might have missed it. Here's what I don't want you to miss. When we talk about exploring, this is not just for those who don't believe. Some of you have been around here so long that when you go, oh, yeah, first E, I got it. What we do is if you have questions and you have doubts, then you go to explorations. I get it. That explore is for them. Part of that is true. It is for them. If you're here and you have questions, then we do want to help you with that. But gang, part of what we do as followers of Christ is you keep going deeper into his word. I cannot emphasize that enough. You chew on it. You make it your own. And it does usually start off personally. You get a Bible. The bookstore helps you with some resources. You download an app that reminds you to read your Bible. And then if you didn't, it's there for you the next day. You start with some of this. But there comes a moment when you can't lone ranger it. And by that, I don't mean that you just hang out with two or three people who are like you, because that's an echo chamber. You hang out with a few people who are different from you, and you learn and you stretch, and the encouragement and the friction helps you to grow. But you are constantly zeroing in on Scripture. So for us, exploring will involve these various classes and groups, including, yes, Body Life, Explorations, and even Vision Dinner. Some of you are like, Vision Dinner? What does that have to do with anything? Well, you should come to one, because we explore God's truth by opening his word and wrestling with hard questions, even at the end of that dinner. If you've been there, you know. Psalm 25 puts it like this: show me the path where I should walk, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to follow. Now, there are many, many other ways for us to do this. 242 groups, marriage, pre-marriage, quarter life, grief. There's so many different things that are going on here, but it will all connect to you exploring in a group setting the truth of God's word. What's the next step for you? I don't know what it is. I'm trying to figure it out for me. What is the next step for you? This is what it means to seek. And there are too many promises in God's word where he says, if you'll seek, you'll find. I want you to think of the most important, vibrant, healthy relationship you've ever had in your life. Can you come up with that? I promise you, when that thing was clicking on all cylinders, you were being intentional. You were leaning in, you were paying attention, you were spending time, you were listening. God refuses to be treated like an object. He is a person. Lean in. You will discover things you never had before. But I must warn you, as you lean in, you will also begin, as you go into the deeper waters, to discover that it's not all about you. I just gotta tell you, as you go into this, you longtime believers, you will find that you'll find yourself caring more and more for those around you. You just will. If you become more like Jesus, you will start caring about those around you, even if they don't yet believe. Dr. E.V. Hill is one of the just all-time great preachers of the 20th century. Had a chance to hear him, and I'm so glad he has now gone on to be with the Lord. I'm so blessed that I was able to hear Dr. Hill. But he said something once that absolutely haunts me. He said, throughout the centuries, the church has struggled with the temptation to be keepers of the aquarium instead of fishers of men. You see, sometimes you get so caught up in it just being about me and my stuff, maybe my seat, my parking space, my ministry, my thing, and before you know it, we start caring about the aquarium and we forget what Jesus has called us to do. But here's what I know. That won't happen at this church, not on our watch. Because you people keep pursuing God. And many of you keep inviting your friends to consider the outrageous offer of grace. And those friends begin to struggle through their questions and they find their answers. And there is such a joy when we go and fold people in and equip and go and fold people in that this place will not just keep up the aquarium. How do I know that? Because God is doing something in our midst, because your staff is absolutely committed to figuring out better ways to do this. And because we are constantly and forever confronted with the beauty of what you now get to see. Thanks for being here today.
I give you my life, I give you my trust.